What's going on, guys? WMM Sports coming at you. 22 days away from kickoff. We're talking Utah, BYU, Utah State football, a little other things going around. My name is Jake.
I'm Kat.
And coming at you. Kat, we are 22 days away from the Holy War. Game down in Provo. How are you feeling, dude? 22 days. How are you feeling?
Honest with you, man, I've been so busy that I'm just starting to get into football mindset. Like, summer, new baby, new job, graduated college, everything new. So I'm feeling okay about it, man. Like, I'm ready.
I don't think you're the only one. Usually about end of July, beginning of August is when people can start smelling football right around the corner. You've had a little bit different of a summer, a little bit hectic, so you've had a pretty good excuse why your mind hasn't always been on football. But yeah, 22 days away, you're pumped. I'm pumped. It's awesome.
I mean, there are some things that are bigger than football, but not many.
Not many.
Not many. Like, yeah. Maybe like your kids and stuff. That's... Yeah, job,
family.
I don't even know. If there's some family members that would put.
I wouldn't say all the family, but you mentioned kids, wife, spouse, right? Yeah. After that, though, I don't even think job is ahead of football. But yeah, but dude, huge game. I really think the state is really starting to get the pulse on this rivalry. There's been a lot of expectations and hype being pumped into this Utah football team. There's a lot of excitement around the other two teams in the state with BYU and Utah State, but let's focus on this BYU Utah game in 22 days in Provo. I mean,
so I think as we get closer to the kickoff, a lot of it, the hype, it almost seems like it just continues to roll. Like, a lot of people are finally like starting to catch on the Utah train. I want to get there. I really do.
Where are you at on the train? Are you on the bandwagon yet of this hype train?
Well, I don't know if I'd say I'm on the bandwagon. I've always kind of been on the wagon.
Yeah, I shouldn't say bandwagon. I should say the hype train. We should call it the train. Where are you on the train?
I'm not.
You're not on the train.
And there's a few reasons why. Like, personally, I'm not reading too much into like what everybody's saying.
Right.
But the Utes have something to prove to me.
Right.
And they have proved nothing to me. And I think, and obviously, yeah, like, okay, you have all these teams, and like the rankings just came out, and they were, what, 13th on ESPN, or 12 or something like that. And yeah, maybe ESPN knows more than I do, but until I see them play maybe 1, 2, 3 games, I don't think that they're in that 13th position. And yeah, you can say a lot of stuff like, last year they had this great season, they have a lot of players coming back. The South is weak, man. Like, it wasn't a good part of the conference, and so I think the Utes are better, probably, in the sense of, like, they've gotten more experience over the past year. Tyler Huntley's put on 25 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Andy Ludwig is, some say he's an addition. That's yet to be seen for me. Yeah, he's a coordinator we've had, but we'll see how his offense performs. So where I'm at is they have something to prove to me personally.
And I completely understand that. I feel like there's a lot of fans that have been wait and see. They're not necessarily wanting to get on that hype train. I completely understand that. I've been talking a lot about Utah hype and how I've been buying into the hype. Something I kind of want to get out of the way is, what do you think most people think? Not maybe you personally as well, but what's the difference between hype and expectations? Is there one?
Yeah, there is. I think a hype to me is what everybody is like, oh my gosh, they have this and this and this, so they have to be good, right? They have to have this super amazing season. Expectation is, you look back and you really look at the basics of the fall team and go, okay, so you're one injury away, okay? That's huge for a time. We're not Alabama. We're not Clemson. We don't have these four or five star athletes backing up our 4 or 5 star athletes, right?
At every position. We do have some, but
you're one injury away at the linebacker spot. You're one injury away
the tackle spot.
At the tackle spot. You're one, and you know what I mean? And that can ruin a whole season for you.
Right.
Tyler Huntley, yeah. Jason Shelley is a good backup, right?
Right.
Like, he proved himself against some mediocre competition near the end of the year. But look how he performed against Washington in the Pac-12 championship. Look how he performed against Northwestern. Yeah, we were missing some key guys there, but you're one injury away at quarterback to maybe from going 10-2 to going 8-4, 7-5. And so I think that's expectation. Whereas hype is like, oh my gosh, anything could happen and we're still going to be amazing. Right. And we're still, it's the Kool-Aid factor, right? Drink that Kool-Aid.
I think with football, you can always expect injuries. I mean, it's not a contact sport. It's like, it's a violent sport, right? But I think when you talk about preseason, when it comes to hype, expectations, goals, injuries are never in that equation, nor I don't think they should be. So when you talk about this hype for the football team, talk about the expectations, I never think, well, my expectation is for Tyler Huntley to get hurt, not play 3 or 4 games because he's injury prone. That's not my expectation.
Right.
Do I see that being a possibility? Yes, but when I'm talking about expectations for this team, I never factor in injuries.
I still, with the hype, the whole hype thing, I still don't see the Utes being in that playoff. I don't.
Then there's not much playoff talk. There's playoff contention.
There are playoff contention. There's dark horse, right? And there's Phil Steele's like, oh man, they have a chance to do it, whatever, blah, blah, blah. I still don't think Utah's the best in the Pac-12. Even with the talent they have, I still think Washington edges them.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're better than Oregon, but I still think Washington still has that edge. That's just my thoughts.
I think there's, outside of pick six previews, who has Utah's that fourth spot preseason going in that playoff. Outside of that, most of the hype, most of the expectations are coming from the Pac-12 in the sense of being the favorite there.
Right.
Now, when we talk about contention for the playoff, I think there's every year probably 5, 6, 7 teams. This year's no different. I think there's about 5, 6, 7 teams that are legit contenders for that fourth spot. I think where you hear Utah associated with the playoff, it's more of that dark horse position.
Right.
And honestly, any P5 conference champion should at least a dark horse.
I agree.
So I don't think it's outrageous to be talking about that Utah is a dark horse for the playoff, because if the expectation is to win the conference, why shouldn't they be talked about as at least a dark horse? Now,
I think if Utah wins the conference, I think they deserve to be in that fourth spot. And there will be people that will disagree with me there, because yeah, the South is not this 100% powerhouse division, right? But to go, if we're winning the conference, it's almost a sense of you've either lost one game or you're undefeated, right? One or two games, you're undefeated.
I mean,
Utah, obviously.
Washington was lost 3 games regular last season last year, and they won the conference.
And they still won the conference, but they were left out of the playoff.
Right.
If they're being considered for the playoff, you've got one loss, unless you're Alabama.
Right.
You've got either one loss, conference championship, or you're undefeated.
Right.
Like, you're not getting in.
I think this kind of goes down a different rabbit hole with the playoff being too small in most people's eyes, my eyes and your eyes. That's probably a conversation for another day. But one thing I do want to come back, circle right back around, is that most of this hype is associated to the expectations of the team. I mean, when people say Utah's overhyped, oh, I can't buy on the hype. Well, what are your expectations? If Utah was a fluke play away last year of winning the Pac-12 championship with their backups, if that's how far they got with their backups,
One fluke play, though, is not, you can't say it was one fluke play, because many things that factored into not scoring any offensive points.
Right. There was no offensive touchdowns. You're that close against Washington with your backup running back, your backup quarterback. All I'm saying is, if these main players, if this senior class is saying this is unfinished business, and they won the South, well, what the freak is the unfinished business?
Well, the unfinished business is winning the Pac-12
championship. So what's the expectation for this team? It is
Well, they have the expectation to win the Pac-12 championship.
And why would
they do?
Why
I don't.
What's your expectations for this team?
I told you what my expectations are. 10-2.
10-2 and what?
That's my expectation.
And to play in the conference championship game?
Absolutely.
So you expect them to get to that conference championship game?
I do. And I've said this before. I still think Washington will beat in that game again, and we will lose to Washington again.
Okay,
That's my expectation.
Okay. I think that's fair.
And so you can say all this hype is wonderful and great and blah, 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 blah. What happens when we're 8, 9 games in a season and you're sitting at 7-1,
I think your point is fair, because I feel like an expectation is a very strong word, and I completely see what you're saying, where if this team is the same as last year, they could be a little bit better, but they shouldn't be any worse, right? So if they aren't any worse, this
Maybe
is what
the pessimist in me, in the sense of like,
hey,
I see all this hype and I like read this stuff while I'm like going to sleep at night, and I wake up and I'm like, so the so-and-so said this about the Utes, and my wife goes, oh, so it's going to be a disappointing season. And I'm like, yeah, probably, because they're expected, or they're hyped to go, right? They're right. hyped to go 10 and 10 or 11 and 1 with maybe one loss or even win the championship, and then like that's the expectation a lot of people have.
Right.
And when they're sitting at 8-4, what are we going to say? Was it a bad season? 8-4 is not a bad season.
Right. I'm not ready to sign on the dotted line what my expectations to a T are, but my expectation for this team is to win the conference. I don't care if they do going undefeated. I don't care if they go 11-1. I don't care if they go 10-2 going in the conference championship game. Heck, they could go 9-3 again in the conference
and
still go. I don't care if they go 9-3. Just win the conference championship because this team is better than the last. And they can do it. So, I mean,
that's debatable as well.
Well, let's see. Let me ask you this. This is a big game, as it always is. The rivalry game is always big. What would it mean for Utah to win that first game against BYU? What does it mean? What does it mean?
I think if Utah loses that first
game. No, I'm not asking losing. Okay, I'm asking first if they win. What does it mean?
I didn't hear that key word there. to win that first game, it takes some... What would it mean?
They win the game. What does it mean?
I mean, do you want my honest opinion?
Yes.
Nothing.
Okay.
I the difference between BYU and Utah and the way they look at this game is, yeah, it's a rivalry game, but to Utah, if they lose this game, they can still win the next 10 games and go to the Rose Bowl.
Yeah, 11.
Right?
11 games.
Yeah. 11 games. And go. For BYU, this is BYU's Super Bowl. Right. It is. Right. That's how their fans look at it. That's how BYU's program looks at it. They've been breaking the huddle saying beat Utah since fetching January of 1987.
You heard a prayer where they said beat Utah then,
like,
right?
Or, no, I'm just kidding. But. Like, the difference is this game shouldn't mean nothing to the players. And I don't think it does because it's a rivalry game. And they're going to go in and they're going to go and swing in and they're going to win this game. But it would mean a heck of a lot more for BYU to win the game.
Right, right. I think... Where I see this game for Utah is that it is a must win in the sense of how this team carries themselves. Mm-hmm. You can't tell me that they're going to lose to BYU and then still be the favorite to win the Pac-12 because how I see this game is a little bit, I see a little correlation with the 2012 Utah-Utah State game, right? We were both on our missions. I wasn't there, but I talked to family members. I talked to friends.
And we were both on our missions, but I definitely knew what happened.
Well, I just asked, like...
I was only in Texas.
We know they lost. But what I asked was, what happened to the rest of the team this year? And I even remember hearing interviews from players that were on that team. Utah doesn't lose to Utah State, right? Just like Utah doesn't lose to...
Three times in our lifetime.
But what I'm saying is...
Almost 30?
Yeah, that's crazy. But what's crazy is Utah loses that game... Early in the season, just like this BYU-Utah game is, early in the season they lose that game in 2012. It affected them the rest of the season. Not only did they go 5-7,
but they beat Georgia Tech.
That was the previous year. But they weren't competitive in a lot of their games. At least the following year when they went 5-7, they were so close. I think of their 7 losses that year, I think 5 or 6 of them were by one score. So they were competitive. But that 2012 year, that Utah State loss was it. I mean, I'm just saying, that's why this game is so important.
Because
this sets
though,
Utah up for the rest of the year.
The difference between that team and this team is a lot better than that team.
Right.
So I think that...
Absolutely.
I think they would probably bounce back and they'll probably play better. But this is almost like a must win, but like whoop-de-doo if we do kind of game.
If we do,
It's much worse if you lose this game.
Right.
Much worse. Because if you lose this game, like you said, it derails your season.
Right.
Right.
They can get back on. They have those two games against Idaho State and Northern Illinois. They can get back on track.
I mean, but Northern Illinois is not... They're not as good as they were last year, but they're not a cupcake team.
I'm just saying, though, like, even if they were to lose to BYU, they could get back on track. Refocus and whatnot. I think this is a very important game for Utah just in... the chemistry, the psychological aspect of this team. But BYU, I think this is one of the better teams BYU has this season against...
Says who?
Says me. I think you got Isaiah Kafusi. I think you got Tonga. I think this is probably their best secondary they've had in a few years. I mean, it's still not like world-class top 10.
Why do you think that? Because what, they showed you last year they were that good?
No, I think Isaiah Kafusi showed us in that first half how good he is at linebacker. He got hurt in that second half. I think he's really good. I think Tonga wouldn't start at the U, especially with the D tackles we have, but he's really good. All I'm saying is this is a better BYU team. However, this is arguably the best Utah team ever.
No, I definitely think this game was going to be a lot closer than some people think it is. I don't think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I don't. I think
over-under is about in the high 40s, so they're expecting
my prediction right now, not score-wise, but I think Utah's defense is going to be very, very, very hard on Utah's or BYU's offense.
Right.
Yeah, they have a great offensive line, but
they're going up against the greatest defensive line in the country. Yeah.
And so I think that this game for BYU's offensive line is probably the toughest game for them of the year.
Right.
I mean, name a team that's got a better defense in against the teams they're going to be playing, right?
Right, right.
Is there one? Nope. There's not, right? Nope. Utah's the best defensive line they're going to face.
Absolutely.
So, and you've got our buddy Zach Moss, right? And let's say, okay, it's just a running back, blah, blah, blah. Zach Moss might be the best running back that BYU plays against all year.
They'll go up against some good ones, but
I mean,
no, this
even the offense, right, that BYU is going to face is going to be an improved offense from what we saw the last three games because Tyler Huntley's back, because Britton Covey's back, because Zach Moss is going to be back, right? And we were missing those guys.
Right. So, you know, I'm a nerd. I rewatch the games from previous years, and it's off season's been no different. I rewatched the BYU-Utah game from last year recently. And what stood out to me was BYU went 3-and-out that first series. BYU started with the ball, went 3-and-out. Punt it, and it touches one of our guys. BYU lands on it. They got a short field. They score, right?
It's those kinds of things that I'm worried that Utah's going to do.
It's the first game. Utah doesn't perform very well first game. Yep. So that's one thing. BYU, I think they can, you know, have plays go their way, explosion. The other thing I'm a little worried about, I'm not worried at all as far as the starting two linebackers. Utah runs a nickel package, a 4-2-5 with two linebackers, 85-90% of the time. However, against BYU, BYU goes under center. They go under center a lot with the two tight ends. They go with the split backs. What I'm saying is Utah runs a lot of 43. They run a lot of three linebackers, and we don't really know who that third linebacker is going to be for Utah. So that's what's going to be interesting. I think if BYU can be in this game consistently, what I'm saying is if they get behind in this game early, BYU is going to have to throw the ball more. They're not going to be able to, you know, make Utah force them in that 4-3 package with that third linebacker.
If BYU comes out and punches Utah in the mouth with, like you just said, with a 3-and-out fumble, right? A muff punt, right?
Right.
Early fumble on the 20-yard line, an interception, a tipped interception, something that Utah makes some mistake and BYU capitalizes. I think it's going to be a lot harder for Utah to make a comeback like they did last year, right? Sackles,
right?
Because yes, BYU's probably improved this year.
Right.
I'm going to disagree with you though. In the sense that I don't think BYU's way better than they were last year, right? A lot of people say that this is a much better team.
Not way better. They are better, though.
They are, well, I hope they're not worse, right? Like
or on par.
Like, a lot of guys have more experience. Zach Wilson's going to be more experienced. Matt Bushman's probably one of the best tight ends we're going to face this year.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they've gotten in the right direction. Plus, this game's at 8:15, dude. Mm-hmm. This game is late. Why are we? What is ESPN's deal with these games? So they have these 10 a.m. games.
Well, I mean, what's your 8:15? I mean, we play with what the cardboard dealt. It's a Thursday night. UCLA.
I'll be in bed at 8:15 on Thursday night.
Yeah, that's usually my bedtime. But I mean, I might have to you know find some caffeine or something. But I just really quick on that. I think this is a year when I say BYU is better. This is a year where Utah can't perform for three quarters like they did in 2015 in the second, third, and fourth quarter. This isn't a 2018 game where they can, you know, just fall asleep at the wheel for 2.5 quarters. If the Utes take care of business early and play consistent, I'm not saying they have to be explosive play after explosive play. They have to go 3-and-out on defense consistently against that BYU offense. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying these guys this isn't a year where Utah can only play a quarter of a game and or win. Half of a game exactly. and win. They have to play at least...
There's not many teams that can do that.
Right, right, which has been fun to watch as far as Utah fans seeing Utah just beat BYU in a quarter or a quarter and a half. But hey, you brought up the 10 a.m. games. We found out a couple weeks ago at the Pac-12 Media Day that the conference is kind of toying with the idea of 10 a.m. football games kickoffs. What's your opinion?
Dude... I don't know. I guess every game can't be prime time, right?
Right.
But 10 a.m. is a weird time for people on a Saturday, I think. Think of this. What is the average dad in Utah doing at 10 a.m. with their children?
Nothing. They're mowing the lawn, probably.
I mean, most of the guys I know are at their kids' football games.
Oh,
they're,
that's true, yeah.
They're, like, 10 a.m. mornings, Saturday mornings are busy for most people.
Right.
Like, they are. Like, that's just how it is. Especially with people with kids. Especially with people with kids in Utah.
Right.
Soccer. Baseball, football. This is a very busy time, so yeah, 10 a.m. games are like, oh, sweet. Like, we're not have to stay up till 1 a.m. in the morning,
right.
Like, to play or to watch our team play. But I think, I don't know.
This is where I see it, and I completely see your side. Maybe from a selfish standpoint, where the person has no kids and you have two, let me just play the other side of the coin. How I see it is, it isn't, do I want a 10 a.m.?
But you can't drink at 10 a.m.
I don't know how... Yeah, that's true. Well, you can, but you shouldn't. How I see it isn't necessarily... Like, because the huge thing, the knock on the conference is these 8 o'clock games, right? Pac-12 after dark. What would you rather have? Would you rather start a game at 10 a.m.? Or would you rather start a game at 8 p.m.? And how I see it is, would you rather get home at 2:30 in the afternoon, Jake? Or would you rather get home at 1 o'clock in the morning?
Do you want me to answer that?
I want you to answer that.
You said Jake.
Well, like, that's how I say it. Okay, you're right, right. Okay, I'm going to answer that for myself. I'd rather get home at 2:30 in the afternoon.
I'll agree with you. I will.
So, I mean, while I don't have kids and they don't have games going on, I'd rather have a 10 a.m. game than have an 8 o'clock game.
So why can't we have, like, a 6 o'clock game?
Because,
like,
I mean, the Pac-12 gets one primetime game because we're competing against the ACC, Pac-12. The SEC, and the Big Ten.
The who?
The ACC,
Ooh.
The SEC, and what? The Big Ten. We're competing against them.
Who's so, those guys?
Anyways, I'm not against it. Obviously, I don't want 6 home games at 10 a.m. That's not what I'm saying. But I wouldn't mind 1 or 2 because I'm sick of going to freaking 4 or 5, 8 o'clock nighttime games. You know what I'm saying? Another thing I kind of wanted to bring up really quickly. BYU announced yesterday or the day before that they're going to be extending season student tickets to UVU they're going to offer UVU students tickets to sit in the BYU student section. What are your thoughts on
that? That's got to be like an Onion article, right? Like, that can't be real.
It is 100% real. Now, I feel like I'm a lonely Ute here, somewhat, a little bit, not really, but sticking up a little bit for BYU.
No, don't stick up for BYU. For those, obviously, nobody can see us, my hands are on my face because...
Right, yeah.
Face palm 1,000 times.
Right.
Like, BYU can't sell enough tickets to their own students fill their student section?
I mean, this is how I feel. Obviously, BYU isn't world beaters. This isn't your grandpa's BYU 1980 team or your dad's 1980 team. I get that. When Utah, when we were kids...
Dude, this is a rivalry game.
Oh, no. Not just for the... This is season. This isn't just for the BYU
this
Utah
This is a
game.
Seasonal
This
thing?
Is for the season.
Oh, my. That makes it so much worse.
This is what I'm saying. When we were little kids, you actually got in for free to Utah football games with your jersey, your Little League jersey. Why? Because nobody cared about Utah football. Now, it's the hottest ticket in town, right? So now, I just think this is a little bit of perspective of where BYU is at. Granted, they do have more seats. I completely understand that. But guess what? There's very few stadiums filling up that are over 60,000. Most, I mean, we have...
How much are season tickets for BYU? Like, do you have an estimate, like, on how much?
Dude, I don't know.
Because is it cheaper to buy season tickets to BYU and then go to the Utah game and then sell the rest?
I did that a couple years ago. The cheapest ticket for the BYU-Utah game is $85. Season tickets for BYU is probably a little over 200.
Okay.
Probably a little over 200. Yeah, so you think...
But where are those season tickets? Like, are they closed?
No, I mean, the $85 tickets are high up in the nosebleed, so those $200 season tickets...
It might be worth buying the $200 to get a closer seat, and then...
But I don't want to go through the headache of trying to resell those other tickets.
All I'm saying is, to me, it's a little pathetic that they have to do this. And yes, okay, if it's about giving the UVU students, like, a football experience, because they don't get that at UVU, they got their basketball team.
That's not the
okay, but if it was, I'd be okay with that. I'd be okay with that. Like, okay, yeah, like, these kids, they don't get to go to football games.
Right.
Like, you're welcome to come support the Cougs, because a lot of those UVU students are BYU students, right?
Yeah.
Or BYU fans. So I get that, but if it's just to fill seats, like, you can't... How many students go to BYU?
I think they got, like, that's 30,000.
It's a big school. You should be filling that stadium.
I get that. I think there's the number one thing is product on the field. And like I said, they're not your dad or your grandpa's BYU team. Product on the field's first and foremost. I think the second thing is the size of the stadium. Now, that might sound a little weird that I'm knocking on BYU's size of stadium. But we're seeing teams out west, ASU, Stanford, like these other teams are downsizing.
Yeah, because Stanford's full of grad students.
Well, yeah, but why would ASU? I mean, ASU's
huge. Like, their stadium's really big.
But what I should just get to the point. Why we're seeing a reduction in size of the stadium sizes is because how good it is to watch a game on TV. Like, the product that you can get inside your own home, you can watch on an 80-inch screen TV, you can be right there. I mean, that. So, if you're up in the nosebleeds of a 65,000-seat stadium, how good of an experience are you actually getting?
Okay, so let's run a hypothetical here.
Okay.
Hypothetically, Utah's expanding, right? How many seats are they adding?
About 7,000.
Okay, so... They're keeping it there, right?
Right.
Okay, so let's travel down 10 years from now. Utah's a mediocre team. Okay, they're winning 4 or 5 games. You think they're still going to sell out?
Yeah.
You honestly think that?
Utah was not bowl eligible for 2 years and having an over 98% retention rate. That's the thing. It's a sweet spot because this is what's up. Utah can charge so much money, $375 for the cheapest season tickets. They can charge that much, but guess what? If the product on the field isn't as good, guess what? You sell them for $200, $250, they're still going to sell out. Let me ask you this, Kat. The loss... Vegas Raiders. I mean, the Raiders in Vegas. How big do you think that stadium is going to be?
Pretty big.
How much would you reckon?
I don't know. Somewhere around 50 to 60,000.
Which is a perfect number. Yeah. It's about 60,000. It's a little more than 60,000. But the thing is that they're not going to build this huge stadium that fits 85, 90, 100,000 people. Why? Because they understand that if there's over 60, 65,000 seats in a stadium... Those people up in the nosebleeds are going to get a better experience at home. Now, if you have a smaller stadium, you can sell the tickets for a higher price and have a much, much better environment, atmosphere in the stadium. So, that's where I think another thing is BYU is opening it up to UVU because the product on the field. And, I mean, I don't know. I've never watched a game in LaVell Edwards Stadium at all this year. But
this is like,
being up in the nosebleeds, we'll see.
This is like USC or UCLA. Calling up Long Beach State and be like, hey, we're not selling of our tickets. You want to come cheer us?
I get
cheer with us against USC or UCLA. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's, I don't know. I don't know. Whatever.
Right. Hey, really quick, let's end on this before we talk about the 2-minute drill, get through the end of this. Yesterday, Utah fans were having a bit of a heart attack with some of the rumors flying around with Zach Moss. What did you learn from this experience?
Dude, I don't know. I was sitting there looking at Twitter. I'm pretty sure I was going to the bathroom, and I was like scrolling through my feed, and I saw this thing. It was like, Zach Moss, hand's broken. He's out for 2 to 3 weeks. And I was like, wait a minute, 2 to 3 weeks with a broken hand? Like, that doesn't seem like it's very long. Like,
yeah,
a broken hand is pretty significant, especially if you're carrying a football.
Right.
Like, if you break an entire hand, you're out for 6-8 weeks.
At least,
like,
yeah. Yeah,
for everything to heal, right?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
You're, right? So, And then I got word that, oh, it was a finger. And then he was at practice, right? And he's like, I'm fine.
Right.
So,
what?
One thing that... Sorry. I don't mean to keep talking. I do. One thing that irritates the crap out of me about Kyle Whittingham, and I kind of get why he does it.
It isn't
like,
just him. I know where you're going with this. It's not just him.
I know. But there's no injury disclosure unless it's season ending.
That's
right?
An NCAA thing.
A team policy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is it an NCAA thing?
NCAA thing, you do not have
you
to divulge.
You don't have to, but...
So why would you? Why would you? Why would you give
your fan? I don't know.
For your fans, why would you give your opponent that advantage?
That's true.
So as a fan, yes, I completely agree. As a fan, it sucks. But as an opponent,
because then you get these things of like, oh, so and so hurt.
Yeah.
Like the whole like Zach Wilson shoulder thing with BYU.
I was about to say that we have about 40 seconds. So what I was going to say is that's exactly where my mind went. Zach Wilson shoulder thing, also. Like, the rumors about Zach Wilson missing game one because he was in the car with the guy.
Dude, I guarantee Zach Wilson's playing game one.
He's playing
game one. Unless, like, something significantly changes.
I'm just saying, this is piss poor for the... excuse my language, Mom. But that is that is the worst part about this rivalry is Twitter as far as what people
Twitter's
are saying.
Twitter's the deal.
So, hey, Zach Moss, last thing I want to say, Zach Moss, it was said that he's 100% healthy. The actual report is he's 100% going to beat BYU with one hand.
Okay.
So, anyway. Okay. Yeah.
Lame.
2 minute drill, Cat.
Ding, 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 ding.
We got to come up with a better.
I know. All right. Okay. So, Zeke Elliott.
What the freak, dude?
Dude, I honestly, this is why I hate the NFL.
So, hold on. Backstory. Two years left on his contract, and he says he's not going to play.
He's not going to play because he wants a better contract. He wants more money.
So, quick thought.
Dude, he's a running back, dude. Tomorrow he could go out and blow his knee and be done. You think? Right. I think it's smart for Dallas to just say nope.
Yeah.
Like nope. Sorry, you don't want to play. Fine. Right. Find somebody else. Because guess what? It's the NFL, Zeke Elliott. Like you're replaceable, bud.
Right.
You are.
Right. And my thought is pretty much the same. I can kind of see his point. Like he wants to get paid, but at the same time, you signed a contract. Right.
You signed a contract.
I just found out yesterday.
Do you think I can go into my? You think I can go to my job? Exactly. And be like, hey, no. So I want more money. They're gonna say, dude, take a hike.
Yeah, you're replaceable. Yeah. My brother-in-law was talking to him yesterday. He was talking about like since he's under contract like this isn't like Le'Veon Bell. This is apples and oranges, right? It's not like Le'Veon Bell where he was in that free agent term or whatever. He's in a contract. So with him being in a contract, he'll get fined.
He'll get fined every day he's not on the field.
Utah football violation. A little
Utah
bit of
basketball.
Basketball, not football. Basketball. They got. I mean, I think this is being blown up a little bit more. It was self-reported. I mean, the NCAA sucks. We could go on about that for about 5 hours. Why
it's really sucks. This whole thing is just really dumb. And you know what? Utah basketball is kind of in a bad spot right now anyway. So
yeah,
I don't think this is a big deal for anybody.
Donovan Mitchell. We have a lot of stars with the FIFA tournament backing out, which is kind of good for Utah Jazz fans. Donovan Mitchell's getting a lot more of the attention, getting a lot more of that leadership role. Thoughts on Donovan Mitchell entering year three?
Honestly, I think it's disappointing that a lot of these stars are backing out. It's a chance to represent your country. I think it's more political than it is anything, right?
Yeah.
Like, oh, I'm going to play for USA because the USA is in a bad spot. Well, fine. Other guys are going to step up and play.
Yep.
Whoop-de-doo.
Yep. Utah getting a home-and-home with Arkansas. 2026, the Wild Hogs, or the, what are they called? The Razorbacks. Razorbacks will be coming.
Wild Hogs.
The Bacons. Wow, Razorbacks coming to Salt Lake in 2026. Utah
this
will
is
be making
right,
the trip out in
this is a step in the right direction for Utah football.
This is awesome.
I think we need to play more teams from the SEC. I think we need to play more teams from the Big Ten. I think we need to play more teams from other conferences that are big-name teams, right? I'm sick of playing these Northern Illinois, these BYUs. Right, and so
and that season we have two of the three slots that we picked up. We have obviously Arkansas. We also have Houston. That's an awesome G5 school. BYU will probably be that third spot. But what I'm saying, I agree with you. They're getting a much better direction on their out of conference games. Shout out to Mark Harlan. I guess the athletic director for Arkansas used to be in the AAC as well. So fellow coworkers colleagues, I should say, not coworkers. Yeah. Hey, thank you guys for listening. Sure love it. You guys listening in, commenting, interacting.
I don't got anything else to say.
One thing I do want to say is we're doing a college football fantasy league. If you're interested, hit us up. We will be doing that in a couple weeks.
The top prize, $100,000.
Minus $100,000.
Out of Jake Bowman's own personal savings account. All right, guys, that's good. I hope you enjoy Jake's winnings, and we'll see you next week.
No $100,000.